Hello and good day. I'm going to tell you what to watch out for when you want to migrate Oracle databases to Postgres. First, a little bit about me and my company. I'll keep it short. I'm Lawrence Albee. I'm a contributor to Postgres and have worked with Postgres since 2006. I maintain the Oracle Foreign Data Wrapper, which hopefully gives me some credibility in the field. I do support, training, consulting, and development for Postgres for the company CyberTech that I've been working for since 2017. Yes, my company CyberTech does exactly the things I said before, everything for Postgres. But not only that, we also have a data science branch. So if you have anything with big data, yeah, we can also help you. Okay, we are all over the world. And so are our customers, and I think that's enough. You know where to find us if you want us. I'm going to talk to you about these things. First of all, I'm going to talk about the individual steps when migrating an Oracle database to Postgres and the difficulties you can encounter there and how to overcome them. After that, I'll tell you a little bit about tools for migrating Oracle. Yes, but first the steps. Here in this slide, all these steps are presented in the same size, which might suggest that they are equally difficult, but that is not the case. This next slide shows these steps in what I think is a more realistic size. So, what people often think is the most difficult thing, migrating the data, is actually technically not the biggest challenge. Usually, the problems come with migrating stored code. That's what I call stored procedures, functions, packages, triggers, everything that's written in PL, SQL, or Java in the case of Oracle, and migrating the SQL code. So let's look at these steps in turn. First, something general about open source and Postgres. I don't want to go into these in detail. These are typical questions that people come up with if they have never experienced open source or they are very familiar with closed source databases like Oracle. You've probably heard them. Actually, they do not concern us so much when we get to the step where we actually want to migrate an Oracle database, because by that time, those questions are typically settled. But be aware before that, you'll have to face those. Some general differences between Oracle and Postgres that may hit you. First, something about transactions. On the surface, it looks pretty similar. Both databases use multi-versioning, and concurrency and locking look pretty much the same. Not totally, but usually it's not a big problem there. Under the hood, however, Postgres and Oracle manage multi-versioning quite differently. There are some advantages here on the Postgres side. For example, no problem with running out of undo table space, no snapshot to old. Rollback is instantaneous, but there are also downsides that might hurt you. In Postgres, a workload with many updates is difficult because it generates a lot of dead tuples. So workloads like that require auto vacuum tuning, and you even may have to do more, reduce fill factor, and maybe drop some indexes so that you can get hot updates to survive a heavy update workload. Another thing you have to watch out for is that table sizes will grow when you migrate to Postgres. That's because of the different multi-versioning implementation that requires tuple headers for visibility. And finally, in Oracle, there's something called statement-level rollback. If you have a statement inside a transaction and that statement fails, causes an error, only that one statement is rolled back, but the transaction continues. In Postgres, however, a statement that fails in a transaction aborts the whole transaction. So that's something that can hit you. You can work around that with save points, but don't be too generous with them. They have their own problems. You can deal with that problem, but you have to think about it. A little bit about synonyms. Because Oracle has a pretty reduced metadata model, so there's only one schema per user, and you only can access tables without schema qualification if they're in your own schema. They have invented the concept of synonyms, which are basically aliases to tables in other schemas or other objects in other schemas. We typically don't need that in Postgres because we can just set search path appropriately and the problem is gone. And for any advanced uses of synonyms, typically a view just does as well. Views also have some differences. In Oracle, you can drop a table that is used to define a view. The view then becomes invalid, and trying to use it will cause an error. Postgres is more strict. It does not allow you to drop the table in that case. So you will have to change schema upgrade procedures. You have to first drop the view, then modify the table, and then create the view again. It's nothing impossible, but a change in procedure. Then materialized views. The support for those in Oracle is much more sophisticated. You can have views, materialized views that are updated whenever something changes in the underlying tables and so on. You don't have any of that in Postgres, so if you need something like that, then you'll have to do it yourself, perhaps with triggers that modify a table automatically. Yep. Table spaces are no problem. The only thing to keep in mind is don't use them in Postgres and you're good. Migrating the database schema, the big problem here is mostly data types. It's not a problem, but it's something where you have to think. The case is that there are more types in Postgres than in Oracle, so typically there's more than one choice on the Postgres side, and it can make a difference. With date, for example, dates in Oracle have an hour, minute, and second component, so you have to decide, do I want to migrate it to date and ignore those, or do I want to migrate to timestamp? These decisions cannot be done automatically, so you have to do them by hand. Similar with number, everything in Oracle is number, but should it be integer, big int, double, precision, or numeric in Postgres? Also, keep in mind with that you need to have the same data type in Postgres for both columns if you want to have a foreign key constraint between them. In Oracle, you can have a number 5 column that has a foreign key reference to a number. So, in that case, make sure that you translate both these columns to the same data type. And finally, large objects, LOBs, that's pretty easy. There is the potential choice between byte A and large objects in Postgres, but you should always use byte A. The migration of the data. This is technically, not as complicated as most people think. The big challenge here is more that this is the part of the migration that takes the longest time. So, this is what determines the downtime, which is often critical. If you just dump and restore, then yes, you will have a long downtime potentially. You can reduce that somewhat by parallelizing and migrating different tables in parallel, creating indexes in parallel, and so on. For more advanced users, you want something like replication between Oracle and Postgres. So it's called change data capture. You start moving the data over, and at the same time, you record all the changes on the Oracle database to be able to replay them later on Postgres. And once replication has caught up, you can switch over with a little downtime. This is nice, but it's difficult and typically only get it with commercial tools. Problems with migrating the data, first and foremost, are corrupted strings. These are more frequent than you might think because if client and server encoding in Oracle are the same, you can stuff any garbage into Oracle databases, and this happens. So, Postgres is less forgiving about this, and you will get error messages that you could have invalid byte sequences. Those have to be fixed on the source side. Second thing are zero bytes. In Oracle strings, you can have ASCII zero bytes. These are not allowed in Postgres. Again, either fix them on the source, or in this case, it's typically pretty easy to strip them away during migration. Nobody really wants those. And finally, there are infinite numbers in Oracle. They are represented with tildes. If you migrate to double precision, that's easy. There's an infinity value here, but with other numeric data types, there is no such value, and you'll have to think about it. Stored procedures. This is the most difficult part, or the most time-consuming part in my experience. It should be simple because PL/SQL, after all, is very similar to PL/SQL, but it's different. So a simple example is returns versus return in function definitions. Well, that's pretty straightforward, but still, yeah. There are tools that provide automatic translation, but they are never perfect. And with more advanced problems, there will always be something that you have to do by hand. Trust me, it's never all automatic. Some frequently encountered examples, transaction management in functions is possible in Oracle, but not in Postgres. There's some limited support for transaction management in procedures in Postgres from version 11 on, but that support is really limited and often won't do. If it is in a batched delete that people in Oracle like to do because they don't want to run out of undo table space, you can just get rid of it because it doesn't matter how big a transaction is in Postgres. But in other cases, you'll have to move the logic to the application. There are also autonomous transactions in Oracle. They are independent of the surrounding transaction and can be pretty useful to, for example, add a log entry to a log table, but roll back the surrounding transaction. You cannot do that in Postgres. If you don't want to move it to the application, then there is the workaround of using the DB-Link extension that to create a database link from the database to itself and have a second transaction that way. And finally, there's bulk collect in Oracle, which is a performance improvement to fetch several rows from a cursor in one call. There is no good equivalent in Postgres, so typically you just simplify it and process the cursor row by row. Packages are their own problem. That's modular code in Oracle. They contain variables, type definitions, functions, and so on. We don't have that in Postgres, so it's a nice thing. One thing that you could do is you could use a closed source fork like ADB's ones. They support packages to some extent. There's sometimes a workaround that can help you. Just create schemas that have the same name as the packages, and the functions from the package are moved to functions in that schema, then the call syntax will stay the same, and often it could be a drop-in replacement. Of course, that won't cover everything like global variables and so on. Also, Oracle comes with a large library for use in PL/SQL. You can do anything, send emails, send HTTP requests from stored procedures. We don't have that. So either move the code to the application or re-implement it in Python or Perl, which can be used in the database in Postgres. To some small extent, the extension Aura FCE will provide some compatibility that makes migration easier. Migrating triggers is pretty straightforward. Usually, all you have to think about is that in Oracle, the code is part of the create trigger statement, whereas in Postgres, there is the trigger function and the create trigger statement. So it's typically a pretty mechanical translation, but you have to do it. Sometimes you can do without the trigger. If it's just a trigger that sets a value from a sequence, then you can get away with a default clause in Postgres, simplify everything. One thing that we do not have in Postgres yet are logon triggers. That is code that runs after a database session has been established. You have to move that to the application. SQL. Where does SQL occur? Not only in application code, which we would expect, but also in view definitions, of course, inside PL/SQL code. Then column default clauses and index definitions can also contain SQL statements, not statements, but constructs, expressions. Often SQL is SQL, one would think, but there are dialects, and very often you will have to move something, translate something. Tools again may help here. I will show you the most frequent problems with translating SQL between Oracle and Postgres. There's first the outer join syntax with the plus. This weird syntax can always easily be translated to standard conforming syntax because the standard conforming syntax is actually much more powerful. It's not difficult, but it's annoying. Similar, empty strings is maybe the most annoying thing. In Oracle, an empty string and a null value is the same, which wouldn't bother us, except that string concatenation works differently in Oracle. If you concatenate a null value to a string, the result is not null, but the string. So null is treated like an empty string there. Now, this is annoying. So wherever there are string concatenations, you have to translate it to either concat function, which does exactly what Oracle concatenation does, or sprinkle their code with coalesce calls that replace the nulls with empty strings. Frequent and annoying problem. Current date, there are the standard functions in Oracle, but most people use sysdate and systimestamps, which are proprietary. So again, search replace, the literal replacement for sysTimestamp would be clock timestamp, but sometimes current timestamp might be more appropriate. Annoying, you have to do it. And finally, sequences. You fetch the next value from a sequence in Oracle with a pseudo column called nextval, whereas in Postgres you call a function nextval. Again, simple, but search and replace. Migrating the application can be hard and can be easy. It can be hard if your SQL code is composed in functions sprinkled all over your application code. Then you have to change a lot. Or it can be trivial if you have an object relational mapper or some other abstraction layer that ideally supports both Oracle and Postgres, then the migration can be trivial. However, even if it is trivial, you have to test thoroughly, and that's also time consuming because some problems, some differences, for example, with transaction handling or concurrency, will only surface on this level. Everything will build fine, compile fine, run fine in a single test, but there may be weird interactions. So test everything, test it well. Finally, something about the tools. There are some forks of Postgres that make life easier. There is Enterprise DB's proprietary Postgres fork that is specifically tuned for Oracle compatibility. So that will really make it much easier, but never believe if they try to tell you that it's just a drop-in replacement. It's not true. You know, there will still be problems, but way less. Still, think twice. You know, if you go to Enterprise DB's closed source fork, you'll end up in a closed source cage again. So you'll be just in the same situation as you were with Oracle before, just cheaper. Do you really want that? Maybe, okay, but think about it, Then, as I said, there's the free Aura FCE extension that provides some of the Oracle functions and some replacement for packages and can make your life easier. I think very often migration is painful, and if you undergo that pain, then suffer a little more and translate a little more and end up using standard open source free Postgres and live and enjoy all the advantages of open source. It's up to you, of course. Okay, tools proper. There's Aura2PG, the most widely used open source migration tool. It's a Perl script, not totally bug-free, but much used, time-tested, proven. It's a decent solution. It generates a DDL script that you have to modify if you need. It exports and imports data for you. Takes time, but usable. It does some attempt at translating PL/SQL, but that's more search replace and pretty limited. There's my personal tool, my baby, Aura Migrator. I implemented it to use the Oracle foreign data wrapper. So it uses the foreign data wrapper to migrate data and metadata too. The nice thing about this is that it directly moves the data from the Oracle database to the Postgres database, so there's no export-import. It's faster. You can parallelize it to some extent, not perfect. The big drawback is that you have to install the Oracle foreign data wrapper in the target database. So if you want to migrate to a hosted database, that's usually not an option. So Aura Migrator would be out in that case. It makes no attempt to migrate PL/SQL or SQL, only very little. And I added a very simple replication solution for low downtime migrations. It's pretty crude. It uses triggers on all Oracle tables, which is often not something you can afford. And finally, there is our CyberTech Migrator. That's now a closed source tool. It's commercial. It has a nice GUI-driven migration, makes it easy. It's highly parallelizable. It has PL/SQL conversion that's not just search and replace, but much smarter. Nothing's perfect, of course. And we are currently developing change data capture for close to zero downtime migration. So check it out. Maybe it's the tool for you. Okay, that's all. So I'm taking questions now. Thank you for your attention.